Hello, this is Janiel Engelstad, and welcome to the MAP Radio Hour on Creative Disturbance. The MAP Radio Hour features artists, producers, designers, and architects working around the world to engage arts and design in social and environmental concerns. Today we're talking with Yvonne Tina, who runs Virtual Africa, also on the Creative Disturbance podcast, so please check that out. And Yvonne is going to begin by telling us a little bit about Virtual Africa.
Hey, Janiel. Thank you for hosting me in your channel. So Virtual Africa originated as a Leonardo Olat project in the mid-90s in France, and the idea was to strengthen and build a network for the art science and technology fields in Africa. The way we have been relaunching that project today is throughout these podcast platforms that aims to promote the events, the collaborations, the networks, the different actors and manifestation happening in Africa and throughout the African diaspora. So we've been doing interview with a wide range of people with different background and different interests. Yeah.
And what's the mission of Virtual Africa?
As I said, the mission is to implement and promote basically works that explore the interaction between the arts and the science and the art and the new technologies in Africa, basically.
Right, to get people connected,
to
perhaps.
Get people connected and to make those works more visible, mm-hmm. because basically there's a lack of visibility, and whereas there's many, many things happening today in several countries in Africa. So, for example, we've been working with people in South Sudan that have started what they called a Juba hub, which is called JERB, and their name is Capital Movie Industry Corporation. They will open a channel soon on Creative Disturbance, and they are basically working with the youth of South Sudan, teaching them how to use and to work with graphic technologies, video, cinema, in order to fight against war and promote peace issues. So they organize twice a year a peace hack camp that is getting bigger and bigger. So this is just one example of what we've been doing since a year and a half now. But I'm not alone in that project, I have to say, too. I work closely with Marcus Neustetter in South Africa, and Haytham Nawar, who is a designer and a professor in the American University in Cairo.
Imagine in places like South Sudan, there's so many challenges for people to actually set up a sort of center, even one that operates virtually, with the war and regime changes and conflict. And have you noticed that there's challenges there that aren't other cities throughout Africa might not be facing?
This is a good question. One of the challenge that have been addressed in the podcast we released 2 days ago with actually this guy called Bruno Bakahika, who is the operational manager of KMIC, is that basically there's a lack of fundings. So they have some obsolete technologies that they need to renew. So the issues that they are facing, apart from the war, are more or less related to the lack of means for education and production. They have a different approach of cinema that needs to be promoted, mm-hmm. and explored more, but the lack of cameras and digital technologies make them, you know, unable to favor the emergence of these new talents that are, you know, those kids that have very interesting views and the issues they're facing and the way of dealing with a digital image and art, basically. But the primary concern over there is how to live, you know, is a daily life problem. The main problem is how to sustain yourself basically,
right.
Before.
Yeah, and starting. I imagine maybe one of the goals of this project is to provide an alternative or some direction for youth and other participants so that there becomes another kind of way of acting and being in the world that is positive and is not connected to the war and the violence of the region.
Yep, exactly. And to do that through our art and education, I think is the best way of dealing with such kind of troubles. But this is just an example of South Sudan, but another place that is really vibrating at the moment is, of course, South Africa. There's so many things going on in South Africa today, and Marcus for that is really helpful and is a key guy. He has a very extensive knowledge of the networks in Africa in general, and Johannesburg has been a hub for many, many events related to digital art today. So we've been more and more collaborating with the Fakukesi Festival that happens every year now. It's organized by Christo and Tegan Bristow, who have been awarded a financial grant as part of the Creative Disturbance Campaign, and they're running this podcast platform called Future Lab, Post Future Labs Africa. And we hope that with their help and the collaboration between those people in South Africa and also in North Africa, we're going to be able to build a network of the different people that are basically interested in working in that field. Yeah.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I think this is one of maybe that we talk a lot about development in the developing world, and I think certainly the key to equalizing the playing field around the world is technology.
Yeah, it's technology.
And there's so many. Pardon me.
And art.
And art, yeah. And when you combine those two things, I think you give tools to people where they can start to realize ideas and actions that might not otherwise be possible. Mm. And that's certainly part of MAP's mission.
Yep. Another probably common thread with MAP will be the, as you was talking about, the global view. Another key aspect of Virtual Africa, that's actually the virtual part of component of it, is that it tries to also take into account the diaspora dimension of African, like me.
Right.
With more and more people traveling around the world, I'm part of these millions of Africans that have left their native countries, but that who are living today in Europe or in Asia or in America, and also the Afro-descendant generation, Afro-American people, but also people in the Caribbean, in South America. So we're trying to build bridges across the continent and across the culture. So, for example, Roger Malina just came back from Colombia, where there was the Unbalance conferences. And one of the ideas for next year, the ASEA conference will be happening in Manizales next year. And one of the ideas will be maybe to try to build a bridge between Latin America and Africa. So
right.
This is part of the...
There's actually two communities, right? There's the diaspora, and then there's the descendants from slavery,
yeah,
and
exactly.
You know, the Afro population,
yeah,
that has been there for hundreds,
mm-hmm,
of years.
Mm-hmm. And one of the key concept or the drive, I mean, the idea that drives us, I mean, actually me, is based from readings of Edouard Glisson and Achille Mbembe and Paul Giroir, those people who are talking about the what Glisson used to call the creolization of the world, which, mm-hmm, means that the world is going to be his idea, he in French is a tout monde, which reflect the idea that the world as for the Caribbean, which are little island, but that's basically our world in miniatures. So the idea is that the language, the culture, the technologies, the knowledge will at some point mix all together. And that's why South Africa is a really interesting place to see at the moment, because it has this mix of different culture coming from Asia, from Africa, from European colonization, from different islands that make it like a short picture of what will look like the world, or actually Africa, in the next 50 or in the next centuries. So, looking at the world, at the process of globalization, not only in terms of economics, but also in terms of culture and science and technology, is one of the goal of the project. Actually, one of its of its motto.
Right.
And we've been talking, I guess, about the possible collaboration with MAP, mm-hmm. because I know you have an extensive knowledge and background in Eastern Europe.
Yes, but my own practice, I lived in Bratislava in 2006 and 2007, where mm-hmm. I was teaching at the Academy of Fine Arts and Design, and have been working in the region ever since, both independently and as part of MAP.
Yes.
And so there's a natural base for MAP there, and then there's our base in the U.S., which our two hubs are Seattle and Dallas.
Yes.
Right now. And then we're building these bridges to Asia and to Africa, just like you are.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that, how we're activating that this fall, is in Seattle, the 50th anniversary of Nine Evenings is being produced in October.
Mm-hmm.
It's being organized by a group of curators led by John Boylan, who runs the residency program at Microsoft.
Oh, okay.
And what they'll be doing is producing art and technology and art and science projects,
mm-hmm.
Very much like the original Nine Evenings in 1966, mm-hmm. where artists will collaborate with scientists or engineers to produce visual arts and performing arts that advance both of the arts and science.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nine Evenings was started by Robert Rauschenberg and John Cage and a group of people,
yeah.
And they partnered with engineers at Bell Labs.
IBM.
Together, well, IBM, no, it was no. Bell Labs.
Okay, Bell Labs.
And together they produced performances that took place at the New York Armory. And at the time it was quite avant-garde and quite advanced, and mm-hmm. it was really the first time that artists had worked specifically with engineers and presented their work.
Yeah.
And some things, it was an experiment, so some things were more successful than others.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things happening around the world to mark this 50th anniversary, but it seems like one of the biggest events is this Nine Evenings 2 in Seattle.
Yeah.
And we look forward to activating a network of young people, meaning high school and university students, working through social media, connected to sites in Africa, Europe, and the United States as a part of Nine Evenings, and creating something out of social media. So really looking at social media as a creative medium.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what can be communicated and produced through an app like WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that, you know, I'm really looking at building bridges,
mm-hmm.
and places of dialogue where people can, or these students can, work together and begin to understand and learn about each other's cultures outside of mainstream media or outside of a narrative that they're not controlling. So here they get to really they build the narrative and they control the narrative. They learn about each other in a way that has more potential, I think, to create opportunities for collaboration and mutual understanding.
Yeah, that's interesting. But before, do you have previous experience with work? I mean, have you been working previously with people in Africa before that?
Well, MAP has some affiliate projects in Africa.
I remember you told me about this street theater project in Lesotho.
Yeah, so that's the Winter Summer Institute, which is head by Kat Lessard in New York. She's a theater person who does writing and producing and directing, and a couple of other people from Johannesburg and a theater company or university in England. And together they have developed over the last 10 years a program in Lesotho, working at the University of Lesotho, that uses theater to investigate social themes but also connect with cultural traditions such as storytelling to address concerns such as HIV/AIDS, and pollution, and water issues connected to the damming. Big dams are going up in the country for power that goes down to Johannesburg. Lesotho is a small landlocked country inside of another country. It's inside of South Africa. So it's a very unusual situation. They have a strong relationship with South Africa because of that, and with that comes benefits and also comes challenges. And theater has been a really productive tool for addressing some of these challenges and getting people to communicate and talk to each other. And there's the city, but there's also real rural population. So how do you address problems in rural areas that are connected to development or lack of development? Arts and technology are ways to do that.
I'm trying to remember the name of this well-known dramaturgist from Brazil, who have been similar, who have been doing similar work in Brazil. I just forget the name, but theater as a mean to deal with social issues at the same time is I think I'm coming from theater. That's why I'm saying that, because I think it's a really powerful, tool to deal, to introduce people to art, but at the same time it's a kind of therapy. You like, it help curate, not curate, but heals some pleas in the society, and in a pacific way, I would say.
And to go swing back to Central Europe, in Poland during communism, theater was the main way that people communicated ideas that they couldn't communicate in the media. They could build in a criticism of the country, and somehow that was tolerated. It wasn't tolerated in every country or in every regime in communism, but it was tolerated in Poland. And there's an old joke that the Tatra mountain range divides Poland and the former Czechoslovakia. It's now Slovakia and the Tatras, but the joke was there was a dog who lived in the Tatra Mountains on the border of Poland and Czechoslovakia, and when he wanted to eat, he he went to Czechoslovakia because Czechoslovakia had abundant agriculture. And when he wanted to bark, he went to Poland because there you could express yourself through theater. It's theater and the other performing arts and visual arts are really key as we move forward as a society, I think, to come together and really address some of these pressing concerns in the world.
Yeah, I think we're reaching the end of the podcast, but I didn't want to conclude without evoking. And the other partners are Rami Med, which is a huge network based in southern France, but that actually works in the northern part of Africa, in Niger, Burkina Faso, Morocco, Algeria, to Lebanon, and the Middle East part, and other colleagues in South Africa and in Senegal, Dakar, too. So we look forward to have MAP as part of this network.
Yes, it's great to be here, and thank you. And also want to thank the Lift Your Voice Advocacy Fund, which is helping to fund our new channel on
Creative Disturbance.
And I'd also like to thank Lift Your Voice Advocacy Fund, who's helping to fund the MAP Radio Hour on Creative Disturbance. Thank you.
Thank you, Angelina.